on oral sex. If you want to blow a limp penis, I'm your guy. Seriously, just go down on me. It'll feel like you're jostling around an old warm piece of sushi meat. Just a bit more flaccid than a week-old Benihana yellowtail. Why? Because oral sex makes no sense to me. The first time I had it, I was in middle school. I was a Walker Wildcat who had landed the hottest Sarah in the district, and she and I got started on our cunnilingular activities right away. And it was exciting for me, but only because I was doing something naughty. All the pleasure came from the fact that I wasn't supposed to be doing it, but I was. Every midnight, I would lace up my wrestling shoes for ninja stealth, climb out my window, leap off my roof, tuck and roll on the landing, pick myself up, and sprint the half mile, if I cut through people's yards, to Sarah's house. I'd knock on her window, she'd open it, I'd climb in, we'd put Tom Petty's greatest hits on repeat, and take turns giving each other oral sex. This was exciting, but the actual act wasn't. Only the idea of the act was exciting. The idea that we were exploring new sexual territory, provinces our peers had never seen. Because they, like us, were forbidden. But Sarah and I were up for some trespassing, and that was the exciting part. The oral sex itself, though, there was nothing exciting or otherwise pleasurable about that. During my turn, I'd lie back and watch this gaping cavern of a barely teenage mouth with a tiny bit of saliva and a bunch of teeth approach my genitalia as though it were a scalding hot pocket. The whole experience was beyond unpleasant, and even then, I considered myself lucky that her jaw would get so exhausted that I only had to endure about 2 minutes of teeth scraping against my shaft before she had to quit. If it lasted any longer than that, I'm not sure I would have been able to sustain the erection. I had to think really hard to keep the blood quarantined in my corpora cavernosa. I had to imagine that Sarah and I were doing pretty much anything else. And if I let my imagination take a breather, even just for a second, every drop of blood would have been immediately shunted away, leaving my penis shriveled and barren. It took that much effort to keep a 13-year-old's penis erect. Just walking home from school, the way the fabric of my shorts would rub against my thighs would give me a giant twanging hard-on. I'd have to wear my backpack in front of my hips like an oversized fanny pack to shield the embarrassment. If one were to divide my 24-hour day into periods of erection and non-erection, I'm sure my penis spent more hours veiny and throbbing than it did lounging. But as soon as it entered a hole that had previously been used to eat wheat bread with jelly on it, it was ready to retire for the evening, ready to relax. So I would pretend with all my might that Sarah and I were doing anything else, and that effort became something of a sport to me. Let's see if my imagination has more stamina than her jaw. Then I'd quietly task myself with the challenge. Had Sarah known that she was competing in a sexual sport, I'm sure she would have won every single match. As is, her lack of awareness gave me a winning percentage of about 80. And after a few hours of oral turn-taking, we would power down the Tom Petty, and I would put my wrestling shoes back on, sprint home, and sneak back inside. After I'd managed to sneak my way clear back into bed, I'd lie there, wondering why I couldn't bring myself to actually find oral sex stimulating, save for its illicit nature and the challenge of outlasting Sarah's jaw. And I'd decide that I must have just used up all of my erective prowess earlier in the day. I had that 9-hour erection that wouldn't go away as long as the cotton in my shorts continued to rub my pelvis, but this gaping mouth with teeth that was pretending to moan as if sexual pleasure centers existed in it, that just wasn't doing it for me. I eventually got caught sneaking out of my house, and I was grounded. A month later, Sarah and I broke up, and I continued to try oral sex for a few more years, assuming it would eventually become an acquired taste, but I never grew those taste buds on my genitalia or in my mouth. And I eventually realized that my lack of pleasure was not about a lack of sexual desire, but a lack of understanding of this particular method. I just can't see how oral sex makes any sense at all. My biology is very mammalian. The only sexual activity that I could, but then didn't, and now can and do, maintain for hours is the kind that results in pregnancy. Ignoring foreplay, i.e. behaviors that I know will lead to pregnancy-risking activity, I just can't find alternative sexual deeds sexy, and I have a hard time believing that anyone else can either. When I bring this point up publicly, usually at a bar, everyone gives me the exact same unthought-out response. This. The reason we have sex is for the feeling, vaginal, oral, whatever. People do these things because they feel good, not to reproduce. I completely disagree, and so does the biology of all living things. People do these things because they feel good, not to reproduce, is the exact opposite of the truth. The only reason sex feels good is because of the reproduction. If it didn't pump out babies, sex wouldn't feel any better than urinating, or blowing your nose, or having someone rub a Q-tip around in your ear. If having a moist dandelion stem swirled around in your nostril is what produced pregnancies, human beings would have been biologically selected to find that activity maximally pleasurable. That's where the Bartholin's glands would be, secreting their snotty oil in response to the first sniff of freshly cut grass. This should be obvious, but I will explain anyway. A couple hundred thousand years ago, the people who enjoyed having sex the most, straight up penis and vagina sex, had it the most. Just like people who enjoy Pokemon the most play Pokemon the most. And the people who like corn the most eat the most corn. If the only people reproducing were those who found the most pleasure in reproduction, the most pleasure in depositing semen into a vagina, this is selective pressure as strong as any environmental stressor. The genes for deriving pleasure from this specific activity, from implanting semen into a fertile vagina, are thus passed on to the next generation. Contrarily, people who had a hankering to impregnate prepubescent kids, or postmenopausal women, or those who got the most pleasure out of oral sex, or dandelion nostril sex, or just people who had fewer nerve endings in their genitals, these people didn't produce any offspring. That's why, here in the 21st century, everyone has so many excitable nerve endings in their penises and vaginas, and not in their mouths or noses or ears, and why newborn babes and wrinkly spinsters aren't sexually attractive to normal people. The genetic constitution that's passed on is the one that derives the most pleasure from pregnancy-inducing activity. Age-appropriate penis and vagina sex. If our ancestors' sexual proclivities aligned with some other behavior, those kinky fetishists didn't produce any offspring. They aren't really our ancestors. So that's how our privates came to house all of those nerve endings. How the pleasure of sex evolved from no pleasure at all to giant convulsing orgasms. It's just generation after generation after generation of natural selection. The pleasure only exists because of the offspring it created. It's 100% evolution. Not 99.99999, 100. Pleasure from penis and vagina sex is a biologically selected trait as powerful as any force in nature. It excites because it produces offspring, not in spite of that offspring. So obviously, the things I find sexiest are the activities that are the most procreative, a penis and a vagina. That's sexy. But, as coined by Richard Dawkins, evolution is a blind watchmaker. It couldn't anticipate the invention of the condom, or of civil society and its planned parenthoods, which help make child-rearing a choice. So at some point in the history of our species, people obviously got creative with their engagement in pregnancy-avoiding sexual behaviors, circumventing the one activity we were exclusively selected for. And while this may be practical, I don't find it sexy. When I see Bono in his Octoon baby bug suit with cameras flying between his legs as he sings Even Better Than the Real Thing, I will tap my foot. It's a great song. But in bed, nothing beats the real thing, and science concurs, and I think Bono probably does too. Sometimes I'll explain this to men after they finish bragging at me about the girl who went down on me last night. Every one of them reacts with the exact same sentence. No, you don't get it. Lindsay totally swallows. Okay, does her esophagus lead to her uterus, or does it just go to her stomach like everyone else's? I would probably find it sexier if this Lindsay of yours didn't swallow, and instead leaned forward and spit it into her cervix. The hypermasculine need for oral sex makes no sense to me. Maybe this guy is just more evolved than I am, but I kind of doubt it, because I'm looking at an awful lot of body hair and detecting a sub-50 IQ. The other way around, I'm not that big on delivering oral sex either. I've done it a fair amount, but I always consider it a sacrifice. Before I could be titillated by the act, I would have to know the sperm count of my saliva was sufficient to induce a pregnancy, so I'd probably need a vas deferens in my throat, or I'd need to be snowballed before I started my descent. So that's my take on oral sex. I find it to be weird nonsense that people only pretend to be excited about to put on a show, to be perceived as kinky. Like how 22-year-olds pretend to love classical music, hoping they might be perceived as sophisticated. But really, they don't, and they aren't. Now, aural sex, A-U-R-A-L, i.e. phone sex, the kind of intercourse that happens over a hotline, this makes even less sense to me. Here, nothing is exchanged. You can't even get VD out of it. At least with oral sex, everyone gets HPV in their throats. There's some sort of contact, some sort of commodity is traded. It gives dentists something else to look for. With aural sex, nothing is exchanged but imagination, and that's just too many steps removed, too many calories spent in pursuit of no consequence. I can't be bothered, certainly can't be aroused. No more than I can be by photography, homosexual porn, or pole dancing. I don't feel I need to expand on photographs. With homosexual porn, it's just a matter of biology. If nothing can be impregnated, I'm not that interested. Girl on girl is just as unexciting to me as guy on guy. If the girls are really attractive, that can be nice, but I'm still impartial. It's like looking at a landscape, rocks, sticks, some grass. It's pleasing, but not arousing. There's a difference. I'm entertained in the way that I am when I go for a walk. And with pole dancing, I just can't see how this could translate to bedroom activity, and thus to sexual arousal. Unless doing anything naked translates to the arousal, you know, riding a unicycle naked, manipulating your abacus naked, these strike me as comparably unlikely to end in me climaxing into a vagina. And anal sex also lacks the power to arouse. Briefly, I've never seen a male house cat thrusting its genitals into a female cat's butthole. I've never seen lions or tigers or bears ripping up a partner's colon, or finches and sparrows and starlings having their songs culminate with a good anal pumping. Maybe they do, and I'm just unaware, but I have a hunch they aren't trying to one-up nature. They know all the pleasure and passion is geared toward maximizing pregnancy. That the entire purpose is to launch one's genes into future generations. To the house cat, anal sex must seem like such an unnecessary wasting of the seed. And even in the human recipient, how pleasurable can it be? Wouldn't people climax while pooping if the nerves permitted the asshole to be a pleasurable cavern? I feel like I'm one of the only people in the known universe who's actually honest about what makes sex pleasurable. One of very few who isn't putting on a personality show to be perceived as sexy, and maybe the only male who can still maintain an erection for a medically dangerous duration, but lose it the moment it enters the wrong hole. It's not about wanting a child either. If it was, I wouldn't be so adamant about birth control. And it's not a matter of overall sex drive. I have a Y chromosome and no one would accuse me of having low testosterone. While my current girlfriend and I are on walks holding hands, I still have to wear a backpack in front of my hips. Now I own a long jacket that I can just button up. But after the walk, if I had to spend the subsequent bedroom hours pumping away at infertile cavities, I would have to engage my imagination pretty hard. What I find weirdest about all of this is not that I think everyone else is faking interest in relatively uninteresting and altogether unsatisfying activities. It's that when I talk about it, these people get pissed. At first, this just confused me, because all I'm really doing is explaining how biology works. But before I can finish that explanation, I can already feel the fire in people's reactions. I haven't even finished my point, and they're already engaging me in a way that produces far more heat than their genitals would during climax. It's a very similar reaction I've learned to expect from the devout when they're presented with science that conflicts with their religious views. So I decided that sexual views and religious views must be related. At least on a peripheral level, as they're both means for an identity. And having an identity overturned is always uncomfortable. It's always threatening. But I can't see how people could identify with their sexual views on a biological level. So I assume they're just identifying with the practice. In the same way that people identify with skiing. If someone is really great at mountain sports, they probably like them and identify with them as though they're a way of life. Conversely, if someone is horrible at skiing, they probably don't like doing it and certainly don't identify with it as a way of life. So the people who get defensive about oral or anal or whatever sex probably think of themselves as talented. They're very skilled at alternative sexual behaviors. And that's why my explanation of biology lights their kindling. At least that's my thought of the moment, but it is subject to change, as are all of my worldviews. I have yet to commit any of them to the kiln. Every one of my beliefs and values is still very moldable to the forces of reason and logic and science. So I do admit the possibility that oral sex's effect on me, converting my penis into a warm, sagging hunk of Benihana yellowtail, is a defect. It's faulty wiring in my circuitry. Sure, maybe. If you can give me a scientifically sound explanation, I'll definitely agree with you. And there would be no fire in my reaction. I just don't think that you can come up with that explanation. For all the reasons I've already mentioned, and for one more really great one, I get to compliment it in that way because it's not mine. The following passage, which I will close with, was made by Fred Frank on August 28th, 2013. I quote, "Strip clubs. Whether they do or don't demean the strippers is a more intriguing issue, but without question, the client's lot is a pathetic one. Sad, lonely men without prospects for immediate procreation offer money to women who hate them in exchange for glimpses and furtive rubs of the latter's gyrating carcasses, all with an agreed-upon impossibility of the prospect of fulfillment. Sounds like a party to me. Along similar lines, I find pornography, S&M, kinky fetishes, and other creative sexual proclivities incredibly sad. If one has ample sex drive, none of these is necessary. Just ask a teenager. This is why the librarian invariably makes a better lover than the dominatrix. If you need all sorts of aids to perform a basic biological function, you are, by definition, handicapped. See if you qualify for a parking sticker, you sexy beast." CourtneyJensen.com